We'll actually step this over just a little bit. Like that. Don't worry, we're getting there. We're getting there. Justin, maybe you blindfold yourself. Well, I figured that fit my head, so it should fit your head.
Do I get to peek?
No, you don't get to peek. You can't peek. What makes you think you could peek? Can you see?
If I look down.
Well, don't look down. Don't look down. You can peek. Okay. Can you see me? No? Can you feel me?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. So, I'll actually start you off. Here's the black marker. Go ahead, pull the cap off. And draw a face.
Where?
Just on this piece of paper. You know, it doesn't have to be pretty, just a circle face, you know, just draw a circle. No. Too far. We'll try again. Back up for a second. Okay, it's got to be big enough for everybody to see. Nice job, by the way. You hit the eyes and the smiley face.
Yeah, really?
Yep. Okay, so a bit nice big one. Nice big one. Everybody see? There you go. Okay, go ahead, put the cap. No. Put the cap back on. All right, now walk over here a little bit. Straight right here. Okay, I'll take the black marker. Go ahead and grab the blue marker without peeking. Right here. What, one of these markers? Go ahead and grab the blue marker.
Can I smell them?
No. No, you can't smell them. Just grab a marker.
All right, I'm going to go with this one.
All right, go ahead and draw two eyes. Again, they don't have to be pretty, just so everybody can see them.
We're going to do something cool like this. All right, how's that?
Doing a great job. You're doing a great job. All right, so I'll come back over my way. Go ahead and grab the red marker.
Okay.
And go ahead and draw a nose on him.
You have to make it like.
Nope, doesn't have to be pretty. Doesn't have to be pretty. Just don't cheat. Okay. I'll take the orange marker. Go ahead and grab the orange or the red marker or no the orange marker. Yeah, the orange marker.
All right, this one.
Okay, now we're gonna put some hair on him.
Okay.
He's gonna have some orange hair.
Dude, this is a funny looking fellow.
just don't cheat. That's okay. He doesn't need ears right now. Are those ears and hair?
No, that was, you know, the sides, you know, like the comb.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, we'll go ahead and, okay, it's church time. I understand. I'll take the blue marker. If you want to. It was orange. Okay, so go ahead and grab the green marker. Now give him a nice top hat. Oh, he's got plenty. Oh, it doesn't have to be huge. A fedora?
A little fedora or a top hat?
Well, if you got room for one or the other.
We're going to do the tape and hair
style. You're doing a great job. You're doing a fantastic job.
I would do a stripe, but I forgot where it's at.
All right, we'll go ahead and I'll take the green marker. You can go ahead and take the purple marker. We'll give him some purple lips like it's cold outside, because it is cold outside.
Minnesota, good catch.
Right. Go ahead and give him some purple lips.
Yeah, big fat lip right there. Nice and cold. Green Bay Packers ended up beating up the Vikings.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take that. Okay, well, now that we're done with markers, go ahead and keep the blindfold on. You can go ahead and sit down, actually. I'm just kidding. Go ahead and take the blindfold off. Go ahead and take it off. See, you see what you drew. It's a nice, pretty picture. So for all of you that don't know, Josh is very, very artistic. So he did surprisingly really well can you all see it over there? Did surprisingly well for being blindfolded and not being able to see. Well, that was the point. You weren't supposed to get it. Yeah, I actually messed that up and said, I'll take the blue marker when it was the orange marker. Yeah, so that's actually really good. I was expecting like the eyes over here, but he like felt out the paper. So, I mean, at least he was, you know, God-driven and was like, let's feel where I'm going first. You can go ahead and take a seat. The key point of that was that's what exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to go ahead and just embrace you in darkness and say, you know what, you're doing a good job. You're going with it. By the way, we're gonna be all over today. I was kind of thinking like, what do I talk about today? What do I talk? And I was like, there's so much. And so, hi, Dad. I just realized my dad's here. There's so much. I'm just going with the nugget sermon. It's going to be nuggets all over. So we're going to be kind of everywhere. So just bear with me here. Darkness. That's where Satan wants you. So you can't see. You know, Josh did a very proper thing. Feeling stuff out, you know, can't see in a time of struggle. But he wants to, and in that darkness, he wants to either tell you you're doing absolutely horrible, you know, you're just the worst person ever, no one's ever going to love you, you're doing the worst job, no one's going to accept this, or he's going to lie to you, and he's going to be like, you know what, that's the best job anybody's ever done, you know, nobody could draw this any better with a blindfold on, apparently. But he's just going to say, you know, nobody's going to draw this any better, you could sell that for $1 million. And that's what he wants. He wants to deceive you. He wants to make you not enlightened. He wants to take that darkness and use it against you. He wants to get you alone so that way you don't have a buddy next to you saying, hey, you got to come over here. Come over here, grab the markers. You know, you got to come over here and, you know, grab purple. If I had to let Josh, yeah, I mean, sure, he would have found the markers, but might have tripped over the easel and into the... It might have been bad. But, yeah, no problem. So, I'm actually glad that I have this up here because I don't have to pronounce words now. I can just write them. So, darkness in Greek. Is that. Somebody wants to try and pronounce that who's a scholar in Greek? That would be awesome. But I'd go... I'm not going to try. And that in Greek means to obscure or blind, literally or figuratively. So what we did with Josh was literally. Figuratively is kind of what Satan wants to do to you. He wants to blind you. He wants to put that blindfold over you so you don't know where you're walking. You don't know where your steps are. And deceit. Deceit is another one. With a house on top of the A. I'm going to go with that Mirme? Okay. Because, yeah. Deceit. Fraud, false, and subtly. Now, the key one I was taking out of there is subtly. Satan knows that the flesh is weak. And so, he's not going to just... Hey, you know what? Here, I'm trying to deceive you right now. So we're going to try and blindfold you. We're going to try and give you something. So I'll have you turn with me to Matthew 26:41, and it's Jesus saying, "Keep watch and pray, so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak, or the flesh is weak." And it's the same thing in, you can just stay there, Mark 14:38. Also says, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So realizing that the flesh is weak. Or in the New King James Version, it says, lest you fall into temptation. So you don't fall into temptation. What does that mean? Like, just to fall into temptation. Well, it's not always going to be, you know, here's pornography on the internet. Here is $50 million that's somebody else's, but it's just sitting there. Go ahead and take it. It's not going to be that obvious. It's not going to be that simple always. It could be, you know, 2 Corinthians 11:14 says that Satan, it's no surprise that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And in that sense, for example, for those who wish to be loved or who long for that, God has put that in their heart, Satan is going to bring in a seemingly appropriate relationships into your life only to have them crash and burn and just explode. It's not good. And he knows that, but he knows that if that's your desire, you know, he doesn't exactly know what your desires are. That's why he throws things left and right until he realizes that he hits something on the head of the nail, and then he uses that. And when he uses it, he embraces that and just, as he's, you know, just bringing the shades over your eyes, the more that you leak into it, the more he's just going to blind you and engulf you in darkness. And, you know, for those who want power, money, he'll bring seemingly appropriate opportunities. You know, here's a better job, more pay. Here's another better job, more pay. Next thing you know, you're bouncing from job to job to job to job, looking, you know, searching for this wealth and power and trying to, oh, you know what, here, come be lead of this, come manage this, come do this. But it's if you really sit down and think about it, you know, God, you know, is this what I want? Is this what I want to do? Is this where I should go? Am I being tempted? Am I being led into something because I'm struggling for money, that I need to go into this job because I'm longing to be held, that I need to go into this relationship? He really subtly, and that was key in deceit, Mirme, right, Josh? Mirme? We'll go with that. Mirme is subtly false. He's subtly falsifying the truth, which he's the father of lies. That's what he does. That's what he wants to do. And so with that, we'll go to Proverbs 14:12 just for a... I knew I had this marked for a reason. It says, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. And that's going back to the subtleness of Satan, the easygoingness of Satan. Things may seem fun and fine at the time, but in reality, you got to look at where it's going to end in the long run. You got to look at how that's going to turn out for you, for the glory of God. How's this going to glorify God in the first place? And how do I bring people, you know, how do I get out there for God and speak for God? Well, the nugget of that here is 2 Corinthians 10:5 is talking about taking our thoughts captive and teaching them to obey Christ. And you ever wonder, when you're reading your Bible, it says Satan shoots his fiery arrows, we quench his fiery arrows or darts with the shield of faith, right? So that's from afar, that's long distance. Well, we have a sword of the Spirit, to fight with, which is the Word of God. That's close combat. So it kind of doesn't make sense there, but the reason that is, the nugget of this is that sword is close combat, and as Satan tries to weave his way in to your mind, you know, if you take that thought captive and you know, God, I got to bring this up to you, I'm lifting this up to you, well, Satan, now you're using the sword of the Spirit, he gets scared, he has to back off, and, you know, he has to fire from afar now. That's, you know, that was just very interesting to me to know that he can't be close to us. He can't get close to us when we're in the Word, when we're, you know, being aware, being alert, so that we're not falling into temptation or looking at him as an angel of light. He has to stay way back. Yeah, he can't even come close to us. You know, and as he's firing back there, we have the shield of faith to stop all his arrows. We don't have to put up with his junk. So that brings me to my next nugget. Go with red. See, this is red. I'm not redrawing a face. It's a wheel with spokes. Would wobble and it's probably would roll uneven anyway, but yeah, you should get up here and draw me a wheel. But so right here would be center. That would be where the most balance needs to come from. And if God is just a spoke, we'll just say he's that one there. What's in the center? What would be there? Who or what is in the middle? And if they're in the middle, where's the rest of our lives? So if we'll say job, your job's in the middle. So then you're going to have some extra support over here for money. Because, you know, job's your center. You're probably going to be spending most of your time there. And you're going to be making all that money. Well, now you're starting to get heavy over here. You're starting to get real heavy. So when you spin, you're going to probably, you know, if you're not spinning fast enough, you're just going to tip. Yes, Daryl, that's exactly how you spin. So if you're not spinning fast enough, you're just going to sit there and you're going to rock back and forth on that one side. Daryl, I should have you be my, like, demonstrator here. So if job's there, money's there, if you have a family, well, now that spoke is cut short because you're spending more of your time at your job, which puts money over there, and now your family's getting cut short. So if family gets cut short, well, then we're not being, for men, now we're not being men of God. We're not being called to the purpose that God wants us to be. So if we flip over, start a new wheel. Have God in the middle. Doesn't it say Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God above all else, and the rest will be added unto you? Well, if that's so, well then your job, your money, your family, your time, and your whatever else, I'm not going to write all that, is going to be in good balance. Not perfect balance, because nothing's perfect in this world. The only thing that was ever perfect was Jesus, thank God. So it's going to roll a whole lot nicer than if we're just kind of putting God off to the side as a spoke. He needs to be the center of that wheel so that the spokes are evenly weighted and we can roll. You know, we can just kind of roll through life. Occasionally we hit a rock, which would be, you know, a trial or a test. No big deal. As long as we got God in the center and we're not worried about anything else, then we're going to roll right over that and we're going to keep on going. And we're just going to keep on rolling. So there's a nugget. Keep God in the center. Just keep God in the center. In Proverbs 3, 6 and Proverbs 16, 3 talks about, you know, seek his will in all you do, and your plans will succeed. So, I don't need to flip that. So with that, being God's center and him being your strength, a little fun nugget that I kind of was like, why does it always say with God's right hand and powerful right arm in the Bible? And I'm like, well, what doesn't, is he one-armed? Is he, hey, look at me, you know? Or does he have a left hand? Well, in Isaiah 41:13, we'll go ahead and turn there. 41:13, I'll wait a moment. It says, for I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid, I am here to help. And then back in Psalm 73, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read that one. 23 says, yet I still belong to you, you hold my right hand. So for those of you with kids, or for those of you with, you know, who's ever held a kid's hand, I mean, unless you're dragging them, you know, by their, you're dragging them with your right hand by your right hand, because they did something, or you're just weird, and you, come on, honey, we're going to the grocery store. You're using your left hand to hold someone's right hand, right? So that's where I get that God's left hand is holding our right hand so that we can be strengthened, so that we can use that wheel, so that we can, you know, be evenly balanced in that wheel, and that we can roll. We can roll through life. You know, again, not with just a breeze, but there's going to be rocks. There's going to be stuff that we need to, you know, put some tread on that wheel. Then we'll get it going. You'll get over that mountain or whatever we're going through. You know, it actually wasn't man who invented wheel. It was God who inspired it. So with that, you know, being God, you know, God being center, God holding our hand, ever wonder where people, or more yourself, place your butt? I'm not talking about somebody watching. Oh, he's gone. Yep, he just sat on some gum. That made my day. No, your butts. Like, where, we'll go, for example, into Psalm 22. I'll actually have you turn me. Someone wanted to turn me there. Turn there. Psalm 22, start off with verse 1. It says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief. But you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you, and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. So the right butt, he goes, well, I just don't see you here, but my ancestors have trusted in you. So, you know, I probably should too. But he goes down in verse 6, he says, but I am a worm and not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him. So it was kind of a wrong kind of butt there. He used his butt in a wrong way. He sat on the wrong thing. He said, but I'm a worm, and everybody just is despising me. They're just coming at me. And then he switches it around again in verse 9 through 13. It says, but you brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you at my mother's You led me to trust you at my mother's breast. I was thrust into your arms at my birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born. That was my correction. That was 9 and 10. And so in Psalm 31, as another example, starting with verse 9 through 13, that's where I got the 9 through 13, he says, have mercy on me, Lord, for I am in distress. Tears blur my eyes. My body and soul are withering away. I am dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. Sin has drained my strength. I am wasting away from within. I am scorned by all my enemies and despised by my neighbors. Even my friends are afraid to come near me. When they see me on the street, they run the other way. I am ignored as if I were dead, as if I were a broken pot. I have heard the many rumors about me. I am surrounded by terror. My enemies conspire against me, plotting to take my life. You know, he's got all this weight on him. He's got all this sorrow, and he'd probably at this point be in a state of either oppression or depression. And coming from that, he says in verse 14, "But I am trusting you, O Lord, saying, you are my God." In the first part of 15 is, "My future is in your hands." Just entrusting and in thrusting that into God's hands. Again, here, putting God in the center. Even with all, you know, take this away, and instead of job and money, you got worries and bills and enemies. You guys can't read that. I'm just kind of scribbling it on there. So that's all right, though. You know, and now you got this stuff. But again, put God in the center. Put God in the center of that wheel. And those spokes are going to be evenly weighted. He's going to deal with them properly. You're going to feel a whole lot better, that's for sure. So just examples of where you place your butts is in a nice soft chair, a nice hard chair, or you just stand up. But in reality, when people say, or when you catch yourself say sometimes, you know, the Lord's my healer, but I got this disease, and I just don't think it's ever going to go away. Do you see where the butt was placed? The Lord is my healer, but I have this disease. I don't think it's going to go away. As opposed to, you know, I got this disease, you know, I got, I don't know, somebody come up with something, eczema, something. Chicken pox. Leprosy, there we go. I got leprosy, but the Lord is my healer. The Lord will heal me. You got to place your butts because, you know, Proverbs 18:21 says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, if that's true, you know, you really got to watch where you place your butt and not sit on a piece of gum. Or really, watch where you place your butts in your sentences so you're not saying, yeah, the Lord's good, but my life sucks. Or it's got to be, you know what, right now life is kind of in a stoop and it's really not the greatest, but the Lord is my God and he will see me through it. So, it's my next point, next nugget. Bugs on a windshield. Kind of gross, right? Some of them stay for a while, and you'd sit there and you squirt because you didn't do it right away. So, Josh, you want to draw some bugs on a windshield? It don't matter. I figure I'll let the artist do this one. So, while he's doing... it doesn't matter. So, while he's doing this, bugs on a windshield. What are bugs on a windshield, and why are we talking about that in church, right? Bugs on a windshield. Okay, we'll go with each bug that's up there would be a sin or something that you have done that you need to clear out of your life. Something that's rooted in your heart that shouldn't be rooted in your heart. Now, as each of these bugs splat, you see some of them, you don't see some of them because they're off in the corner or whatever. But you know, oh, that's gross. That one's smeared.
I had to make you laugh.
Okay, so, oh, that's really kind of, that's graphic. So, anyway, so we got a bug splattered and smeared here. So we tried wiping this one away right away, apparently. And so that's like the faster that you take care of something, the easier it's going to be to deal with it. If you let it sit there, and you let it sit there. And we'll take this same one as another example, that we let it sit there. You know, we see it splat, and instead of just wiping it away right away, we left it. So that sin is just sinking into our heart, you know, and it's eating us up. And instead of going to the Lord and confessing, 1 John 1:9, and being forgiven for that and being freed from that, we let it sit there and we let it kind of...
I'm drawing the water so that way it's washing it
out. Oh, okay, the water, okay. We just let it sit there and let it sink. And as that sinks into your heart, that's going to spread into other parts of your lives. It's not just going to sit there like, oh, I can keep this secret. You know, I can hold that little bit of sin in my heart, and it's not going to affect anybody else, so nobody else needs to know about it. The Lord doesn't need to know about it, even though he knows everything. I know this, but I'm going to keep it from him anyway. That doesn't make sense to me. But it starts to bleed in to other parts of our lives, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, for no reason, we're getting short with people who are just trying to be nice to us. We're turning things down, you know, where we should be helping, where normally we'd be like, you know what, I'll help in that, but now we're like, no, you know, I'm tired today. I don't have the energy. I don't have the enthusiasm to do this. Instead, you just kind of sulk, and you start to sink back, and now Satan's getting you in that darkness, because instead of dealing with it, instead of wiping it away right away, stopping at a Quick Trip and scrubbing it off, you let it set there and just really soak in to the windshield, or really dry onto the windshield, or soak into your heart, just sink into your heart, and now you're left with dealing with something much bigger than what it should have been in the first place. You can, if you're done drawing, you can go ahead and sit down.
I didn't know if you needed me to draw another one.
No, thank you. So as we come to God, as we confess to God, we wash these away. We catch it right away. We go, God, you know what? That was my mistake. I did that. I apologize. Please forgive me. And if you need to ask forgiveness from somebody else, go for it. Don't sit on it. Don't sit on it. Don't let it soak in. But just take care of it right away, and it'll be so much easier to wipe away. I can't wipe that away. It's not a whiteboard. But we'll pretend now that this is it washed away. Watch. It'll be just that good. Look at that. White as snow again. Thank you, Roger. White as snow again. If that's what we do, if that's how we take care of it right away, it's so much easier. It's so much easier, instead of letting things sink into your heart, instead of letting them root and get their all, you know, roots just flying around in your heart and gripping every which way. Well, then you have to take the time. You have to... So, not only does it take up a lot more of your time, it takes up a lot more of your energy to get this thing out of your heart, to get it out of your head, you know, and that's tough. And so the faster we do it, the better. And with that, if you can't do it by yourself, there's accountability. It says in James 5:16, we'll go there. Oh, I'm going there. We're going to go there. 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So not only are you confessing to God and receiving forgiveness from Him, you receive healing from accountability, from people that you have in your lives. The Lord places people, pardon me, the Lord places people in your lives for this purpose, so that you're not standing alone. We'll flip all the way over to Ecclesiastes. Yeah. Now I gotta find it. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And I understand that some people are people, just like everybody else. Some people are a little bit more closed off. They're not very open. They're not very, they're not like me. We'll just put it that way. They're not like somebody who's like, oh, hey, man, this is how my day is going. It sucks. No, people are like, oh, no, my day is good. I'm going to go home now. I'm going to cry in a corner. Some people are like that. That's okay. But they still have, God still gives them maybe just that one person. Maybe just them two real close people. Sure, they're friends with everybody else, which is awesome. But they have them two real close people that, or one real close person where they go to, hey, I did this today, and I just feel terrible about it, and I can't get over this. I need help. I'm some intercessory prayer. Can you pray with me? Can you pray for me? That's what accountability is for, and that's why we need accountability. And right in God's word, if God says it, then it's so. If we need accountability, we need at least that one person of accountability. Otherwise, we may, not necessarily stumble from sinning or being down in the dumps, but we might get too wise in our own eyes and think that we're better than everybody else. In Proverbs, it says that a fool thinks he's wiser than seven wise counselors. So in order not to go into one side of the ditch or the other, that's what the accountability is part. It's what the accountability partner is for. Also, that's what our elders are for guidance, for wisdom, something that you're struggling with. If you don't feel like you can go to anybody else, or you don't have that person, that's what Roger's for. Just pile it on. I'm just kidding. Don't pile it on, Roger. That's a whole lot. Some days it's tough to even just take what you got, and let alone, help somebody else out. But in those times, helping somebody else out sometimes helps you out. And you may be speaking to them and all of a sudden realize, whoa, I just said something for me. You got time out. I got to talk to myself. And, well, I thought this was a good idea. Okay, so back in the game. That's what accountability is. That's what accountability is for, to help each other make it through. God being center, always, of course. First and number one, God, I did this, or I caught myself being too wise for my own good because I'm the smartest one in my group. No, I caught myself trying to tell everybody what to do, how to do it, not giving anybody the chance. But instead, I need this person. There's been plenty of times where I've been corrected thinking, hey, I'm doing the right thing. And whoa, I am not doing the right thing. So it's good. If you don't have that accountability partner, get that accountability partner. Don't need a whole lot, or you do need a whole lot. I don't know. It depends on where you're at. Some days I need more than others. Your accountability for this section of my life, and your accountability for this section, and you for there, and you for there. Yeah. So, but no, at least one. Get that one person or them few people that you're good with, that you're close with. Use that accountability and get rid of the bugs on the windshield so you can look like this again. It's a nice clean sheet paper, clean 100 sheets under there. You can turn the page and you look the same. But the key thing is with God in the center, with God being there, He can help us through any situation, through any part in life where we feel like, it's too tough, we can't handle this, or I can't do this, or I'm falling to my knees. Awesome, fall to your knees. That's where, you're praising God. You know, if that's the last place left to fall, go for it. Because God will be there. God will comfort you. We're going to actually go to Matthew 5. The Beatitudes. I love this. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him. And that's not just talking about poor, like, oh, I don't have any money, but poor in spirit, you know, poor, you know, just feeling weak, feeling real down, falling to your knees, you realizing that you need Him, because that's the last, you know, if that's the last place left to fall, that's okay. He'll catch you there. You feel like you've fallen further than that, He'll catch you there too. He's always there. And continuing on, sorry, I started in verse 3. Now, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. 4, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. He is the greatest comforter of all. He will comfort in any time of need. He will comfort in any time of sorrow. Anything that you need, you go to God, and He's like, you know what? I got you. I got you. Verse 5, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. And we've heard plenty about pride from Roger. He's preached on that, you know. And it says right here, those who are humble, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Humble, just humble yourselves, you know. Don't, I'm right, this person's wrong, I'm going to prove it. You know, I'm going to stand up here. Or even if, I've caught myself do this a time or two, where I'm wrong, they're right, and I'm like, nah, I'm still right. I'm still right. I'm staying up here. You're going to stay right here until I realize that God's kind of talking to my heart, like, hey, you know you're wrong. You know, you just step down, step down. You know, and I've had to go back and apologize, which is fine. You know, it would have been easier if I'd just been like, oh, you know what, you're right, I'm wrong. Humbled myself, kind of went down, was like, you know, this is your spot to lead. This is your spot to go. 6, 5, still in chapter 5. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And then God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. Remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So people, God is our everything. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. And apply that to anything. I'll write it up here in... Vikings play today, don't they? Our God is greater. Wow, I can't spell. Greater than, you fill in the blank. Greater than the troubles we have at work. Greater than money. Anybody else? We're all part of this. It's not just me teaching, so start flinging some ideas. Money, what's that? All. Greater than all. That's right. Our God is stronger than even the mightiest macho man. That includes you, Josh. He's just fill in the blank. Any part of your day, fill in the blank. You're having a down day, choose to be happy. Easier said than done. Just so nobody starts charging me, it's easier said than done. But you can choose to be happy if you start thinking on what God is greater than and what God is stronger than? Just fill in the blank. Just fill in the blank. So, on a recap of nuggets here and a whole lot of extra stuff. Oh, that's my first page. I was testing out the markers. And it's, you see, Josh, that's what you do the first time. He nailed that pretty good. Being alert, first nugget, being alert, realizing that he has to fire arrows from afar. He has to. If you're in the Word, there's no way he can even come close to you. He can't get close to you. You have a sword that's meant for close combat. That's why he's got to stay way back there. So, second nugget is not that. That's Word. Right here. Just kidding. Right here. God, being center of your wheel. Don't let him be a spoke. Don't put him off over here or here or any one of these. Put him right in the middle, right in the middle, and he'll help you. He'll help you roll this wheel better than you could on your own strength. If you put yourself in the middle, you're going to be all over the place. Your wheel's going to be half flat on the top and a little bit bent in the bottom. So just keep God there. And the next nugget is the third nugget, right? Yeah, third nugget. Right, yeah. Yes. You are a genius. The Bible is your tread. Thanks to Andrew. I don't know if I can write upside down. And I'm sorry for all the sloppy writing. That looks like some good tread. Bible is your tread. The third nugget, God is holding your hand always. He is strengthening you always. When you feel alone, God's already holding your hand. He never lets go. He never forsakes you, and he never leaves you. And it proves it. God's always using his right hand, his right arm. Where's his left one? Holding your right hand, like it says in Isaiah and Psalms. Fourth nugget, watch where you place your butts. It's sometimes a little tougher to do. You know, you just get carried away in a sentence. And next thing you know, you're like, wow, I really said that about myself. Watch where you place your butts. But the Lord is my God, and he is greater than, and he is stronger than. And the sixth one, gross one, a fifth nugget, sorry. Bugs on a windshield. Get rid of those bugs on the windshield. Get out of your heart what doesn't belong there, and put in your heart what does belong there, which is God's Word. Meditate it on it day and night. Joshua 1:8. And good things will come. You know, maybe not right away, maybe not in your timing, because we all think things should happen in our timing. But it's in God's perfect timing. Just give yourselves to Him, get rid of those bugs off the windshield, and hopefully they don't smear like that one did, because that's always gross. I'll just give you another picture of that. Gross. So just get rid of the bugs, find that accountability partner, and work through it. And work through it. And this is what you get. And that's what you get. Whiter than snow. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time of being able to speak your word, of being able to come before you and be used by you and to really give these nuggets to people, Lord. And I pray that they take and apply them. They don't just hear them, but they apply them to their lives as they see fit, Lord, as you see fit in their lives. And Lord, I pray that they just come to you and just humble themselves to you, knowing that you are greater than whatever it is. You are stronger than whatever it is. Lord, you provide all things, strength, Lord, direction. You provide everything that we would ever need here on this earth. You created us for a purpose. Lord, and we just want to bring glory back to you. And again, I thank you for the opportunity of being able to be here and use the gifts that you have instilled in me. And I pray that you just instill and hone in on the gifts of the people here, Lord, that they too can just live throughout their lives glorifying you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just want to encourage you, there will be a prayer team up here.